And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays podcast. My name is Zach Dobb. His name is Pat Davenport. Pat, have you ever felt as like just underwhelmed with a 4-2 road trip as I feel right now?
It's amazing what like the last game before a podcast or the last game of a week can affect your feelings about things, because ultimately a 4-2 road trip is a very good result. Yes. Any 4-2 road trip, you go, yeah, we'll take that and we'll move on, right? But yeah, this Pirates series, very underwhelming series in general. A great game on Saturday, a chaotic mental game, but one that we won, which we very much, I didn't think we were going to win when I went to bed during the rain delay. And lo and behold, my surprise when I woke up and was like, hold on, what's happened here? 13 innings in Manfred ball? So yeah, it's just a shame because I think we had a lovely filling, but the bread of this series sandwich was very stale. And yeah, it felt like the Rays came to Sunday's game a bit tired and didn't really put up their best showing, nor did they on Friday, which is a shame because that W6 that they were riding was pretty impressive. But we're going to break down the good and the bad of all of these things and try and assess a bit more what we think of this 2026 Rays team.
Yeah, I think the deeper you go into the season, the more we can start to make some assertions, some opinions. We're still not quite there. We can make any like really, really strong opinions, but we're going to make heads or tails of it that we can. And we are glad that y'all are joining us on our coin flipping journey to try to figure out what's going on out there. If this is your first time joining us, we appreciate you so much. If you're coming back and you've seen us before, thank you for returning. If you haven't already, drop a subscribe or a follow on whatever platform you enjoy us on. It's free. It helps us out so much. We would really appreciate it if you do that for us, because we're here. We talk Rays baseball every single week. So if you enjoy that, drop the follow, drop the subscribe, so you will know when we go live and you can be part of the conversation. If you got thoughts on either of these series or anything else going on in Rays baseball world, drop a comment over on YouTube. We'd love to hear from you guys. But right now, we got to get right into it because we do have a packed show to talk about these two series. Because as much as the weirdness of this Pirates series does exist, it comes off the heels of an awesome sweep against a team that you should sweep. Like, realistically, you should sweep the White Sox. But I feel like over the years, the Rays have struggled with the White Sox. And so it was good to get three solid games.
Yeah, I think they said on the broadcast it was our first sweep with the White Sox since like 2018.
Yeah.
And the White Sox have been pretty bad over, especially like the 2020s. So yeah, the fact that we managed to just take care of business and kind of routinely win pretty much all of those games, really good. Really good to see. I mean, that third game in the White Sox series was maybe not a routine win. We had to come back in the ninth to win that one. But and it never felt like those games were getting out of hand or out of reach at any time. I guess we should start with the first game and work our way through.
I think that first game is very notable because Shane McClanahan gets his first win in 2 years, going out throwing five solid innings, two earned runs given up, three also gave up an unearned run, four walks, which is, you know, put a pin in that because we'll be back on that. But four walks, four strikeouts, got the win. Very important milestone, I think, for him and in the rehab and the return for him. But something that you just got to love to see.
100%. It's Shane definitely doesn't look like the ace that he used to be.
Yeah,
not everything's there yet. He looks more like a mid to back end rotation starter, which is kind of fine for a guy that hasn't pitched for 2 years.
Yeah,
hopefully he'll get there eventually. I don't mind him being below expectations at this point, but like you said, he's battling through. It wasn't his best start, but he did enough to earn the win. Yeah. I think it was great to see him battle through. He was throwing lots of strikes still, but still managed to throw four walks, which isn't great. But got through it. His stuff is looking better, but his command's looking a bit worse. Start on start. That's something to keep an eye on. Like his fastball velocity today, for example, back up to like 97, 98 on the fastball, but his command's getting a bit worse. He's giving up a few more base runners compared to early in the season where he was only throwing like 93 to 95, but walking less people. So it'll be interesting to see how he decides to balance that velocity versus command equation for him. But again, I thought the bullpen, apart from Gomez, did a pretty solid job in this well. And I guess the offense was more victorious. They scored 8 runs, which was
they did.
Valade had a really good game, probably his
Valade
best.
Valade Brigade.
Yeah, the Valade Brigade. Shout out Ben Whitelaw, friend of the show. He loves Ryan Valade. But everyone kind of pitched in. Williamson got a RBI double. Fortes drove in a run. Yandy drove in a run. Like, there was some bunting. We love some bunting. Yeah, really great. The only thing I've got to say about this first game and this series in general that ticks me off, Zach. It's ticking me off. Everson Pereira.
Oh. I was wondering when we were going to get to this.
Everson Pereira, how dare you act like you are a competent baseball hitter again? Like, we traded Jose Caballero to acquire you, and you were so ass for the entire tenure of your Rays career. Couldn't hit the, like, you couldn't hit anything. You couldn't hit my head if I crouched down and asked you to. And then he turns up and he's like the heart. He's the kind of cornerstone of the White Sox lineup.
He somehow turned into what the like what the sell job was when we traded for him from New York was that he could be a like a solution for the outfield. And he ended this. I haven't checked what his stats are at like since the last couple of games, but he ended the series with against us. Hitting to a 304 average and a 1.99 OPS. It's just pure comedy. And it just goes to show you that changing teams mid-season just frequently does not work out. Like, I would love to do, like, if I was ever going to do, like, a research paper on baseball, I think what I would do it on is the hit rate on trades that are done in the offseason versus at the deadline of their effectiveness. Because I think that just that changing of environment in the middle of the season, because of the way like baseball is just the way that your routine goes, the way that how many games there are and the travel schedule and all that, it's a different animal than even like, you know, like football. If you get traded in the middle of the season or even basketball. It's just such a different animal and the way you have to like ingratiate yourself into a new place. And so I think it's just really difficult. And I think he had a full offseason to figure it out in Chicago and clearly has got something going. Now, could this be a smokescreen and he returns to what he was previously? Sure. But, man, I would have taken these 25 games or whatever that he's played for in Chicago versus the 25 games that we got at the end of last year. I would have taken that trade.
Last year for the Rays, Everson Pereira hit to a 30 WRC plus.
Ooh.
A negative 0.5 FWAR. Negative defensive value. 2 home runs. He's already hit 3 this year, by the way.
Yep.
He's played 9 games for the White Sox so far and has already hit more home runs than he did in 23 for the Rays. And has a 0.3 FWAR, which is almost a whole win better than he was last year.
Yeah.
How dare you? What an insult.
Baseball. That's baseball.
That is baseball. Enjoy the White Sox, Pereira. You deserve each other.
The White Sox are, I will say, like, they've got some talent. I feel like I'm saying that a lot about teams we've been playing, but like, there's some talent on this team. I can see where they're maybe starting to move in, like Murakami. He didn't have an awesome series against us, but he's kind of turned it around since this series, starting to find himself a little bit.
He's got some power, that guy.
I feel like we found Yeah, I feel like if getting them now in the season was a good thing, because I feel like they could be a frisky team that could give some teams some trouble later in the season.
Yeah, I still think they're going to finish last in the division.
Probably.
Yeah, they probably aren't an 110 loss team, though.
No, I don't this think time so. Around.
They're probably more like a 90 loss team.
Yeah.
But one of those. Yeah, you deserve your fate, Everson Pereira. Enjoy the White Sox. You and 85-year-old Andrew Benintendi can live it up in that outfield.
Oh, boy. Well, maybe they are going to lose 90 games, but they definitely lost the next two. And the very next game was an interesting one because it starred Jesse Schlotens, a guy who was called up from AAA, not a guy that we expected to see. But this is now, I believe, his second outing for the Rays this season at the major league level? I feel like he showed up once already.
Yeah, it's his second.
Am I just misremembering it? He has not allowed a run. I feel like that needs to be mentioned. The dude has not allowed a run in however many innings he's pitched so far for the Rays. And I give him a lot of credit. Sulcer came in to open the game, did his job, got through two innings, nothing given up. Then Schlotens comes in, five innings pitched, nothing given up, couple of walks, couple of strikeouts, only one hit. And then, you know, Engler comes in after him. Seymour comes in at the end of the game, gives up a couple of runs. Just I was joking in our Discord earlier, like during when this game was happening, that, you know, Pat had gone on a spirited defense of Ian Seymour on the last pod. And he is not backing you up at all, man. He just went out there, gave up three runs in the ninth when we should have been putting this game to bed. We should have had a shutout. And instead he just ran out there and gave a couple runs. It didn't matter because the offense had another really good day where a lot of people contributed, like Junior, Aranda, Yandy, Fraley got a hit. DeLuca had a really good day. And he only had the one at bat, but he had a very key three RBIs in the one at bat that he did have, and he did score later in that inning as well. And so great offensive game. Really cool to see some guys step up like Sulcer and Schlotens. And really weird to see what is becoming of Ian Seymour.
After everything I said last week, I take it back. Ian Seymour might be cooked. I do worry about Ian Seymour. I think he is more of a bulk guy than a reliever guy. But at this point, he's been so bad. You're like, why don't we just shuffle the deck a little bit? Like, why don't we give Joe Rock a go at what Ian Seymour's doing? Why don't we give Cam Boozer a go at what Ian Seymour's doing? Like, just for Ian Seymour's, well, yeah, just for a little bit of, like, it's not working with Ian Seymour. We just need a minute off from that guy at the moment. The only thing that Ian Seymour can do is provide you length, but I don't know why Joe Rock couldn't do that because he's sometimes a starter as well. So I'm ready to shuffle the deck. I'm not giving up on Ian Seymour necessarily, but I'm like, let's take a break from him at the major league level for a minute just to give everyone a time to reset, I think. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that I'm trying to sort of see, okay, what's going on with him right now. The one thing that I'm going to make a note of for him, a 5% difference in percentage of pitches in the strike zone this year relative to last year. And we know this, when you are struggling to find the strike zone, you throw more mistake pitches. And when you throw mistake pitches, you get lit up. And so
you're not a stuff pitcher. Like, he's almost not a stuff pitcher. He's like a, not a velocity pitcher anyway. And when you make mistake pitches at low velocity, they're way easier to hit.
Yeah, they are. And so I don't know that he's like cooked completely, but I do think it bears noticing, like, hey, I can see something very specific that is not working for him right now. And I don't know if this is something where, you know, he just needs to work it out at the major league level. I don't know that he's costing us games right now, but it seems like, you know, with how well Schlotens has played, it seems like Ian's opportunity to be a starter, at least for the moment, has passed him by. And those innings are going to go to him, to Schlotens instead. And so it'll be remains to be seen if he can find a way to turn it around. But the three runs he gave up didn't matter. Offense was great again in that game. And that takes us to the final game of this series. First two games felt like we were in complete control, scored eight runs in both. This last game did not feel that way. Matt's had a decent start, but he, and giving up two runs is fine over five and a third inning, but the offense was just not doing very much to begin the game. Only had one run through six innings.
Yeah. Got absolutely, served by what was a bullpen game really. Correct. by the White Sox. Anthony Kay got the longest run out. But yeah, they just kept mixing and matching. Like, you know, you went from Leisure, who was a kind of hard throwing righty, to Kay, who was more of a crafty lefty. And then Jordan Hicks came in, who was a velocity righty again. So you the Rays were just like constantly having to battle. But luckily, yeah, we were done some insane favors by Sir Anthony Dominguez, who really just could not find the zone, and got himself in a lot of bad counts. And lo and behold, and it's also worth noting that the tone was set in that ninth inning by Junior, who, like, three pitches in, just hit a home run to tie the game.
Yes, and that allowed – and I wonder if coming in and immediately giving up the lead and allowing it to go to a tie just rattled Dominguez, and he was not able to get it back together, and then ended up giving up the other two runs to allow us to take that two-run lead. And then Baker came in and closed it out. He did give up a walk, which, you know – things got, you know, you started to worry a little bit there, but ended up getting out of it and getting a sweep, which what put I liked, us at the, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, what I liked most about that ninth inning was just the quality of the at-bats. Every at-bat was like grinding the pitcher down. That ninth inning lasted about 35 minutes, that top of the ninth inning. It was a long half of an inning, and that was because every at bat felt like it was going like 8 pitches, 10 pitches, where Walls did it, Fiducia did it, Fraley did it, Palacios, like these guys had long at bats where they were just grinding their way through it to eventually get the mistake pitch to get a hit off or get the walk. Even Fraley got a little unlucky on that particular occasion, where it was a pitch right, was this the one where it was a pitch right at the knees?
Yeah.
And they challenged it, and it was like that much on the zone or whatever. Like, he thought he got the walk, and then they challenged it, and it was like this much on the zone.
I didn't think that was an egregious challenge. I mean, it was like the stitching on the top of the ball caught the zone. It was a strike, but it was a great sweeper by Sims.
Yeah, that was just an unlucky one where you go, I don't blame him for challenging that one. Was it also this game where I do blame him for challenging a call?
Hang on, let me look back. Oh, well, yes, he did have quite a bad challenge in the – see, that was the seventh where we had scored – well, and it felt bad because we had scored some runs in that inning and had some guys on still, and Fraley just took a really bad – and then that was like the ball was like completely in the strike zone.
Yeah, he just got caught looking, and he was like, I'm going to try and save face by challenging it.
Yes.
There's been a few instances, not just the Rays, but like around the league, where hitters letting their ego get involved in the challenge, where they get just completely caught looking on something, where like it's a pitch obviously in the zone and they just were completely tied up. And then they challenge just to make themselves look better. Like they go, oh, maybe I'll get away with this. Maybe it wasn't a strike and I'll challenge. So I look a bit smarter, and it's just like clearly in the zone. They look worse.
Yeah. I would love to. I don't feel like we've gotten much of this yet. Maybe I've missed it on the broadcast. But I'd love to ask, if I had a question to ask Kevin Cash, what is the philosophy around challenging? Like, what's been there? Like, who is everybody allowed to challenge? Are only certain players allowed to challenge? Are there situations where, like, it's a green light? Like, if you think it's close on a strikeout, it's a green light. Or is it situational? It's like on a strikeout, it's a green light after like the sixth inning in a one or two. Like, I'd be curious to know if there's like what the decision matrix is that they've instilled there.
If Fraley is challenged there, because that was our last challenge.
Right. Yes.
That was our last challenge, and it was the seventh, wasn't it? So we still had some time left, and it was a tied game. Right. And that was our final challenge.
Yeah.
That made me go, they don't have a plan of when to use challenges.
It certainly felt like it.
You can't use your final challenge on a pitch that's unless you're certain or it's the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Like, you don't use your last challenge unless you're absolutely sure.
And it's like, he is a vet. He's a seven-year vet. He is. So I don't know if maybe they have different rules for if you're a veteran and you sit and theoretically, you're supposed to know the strike zone a little bit better. He's not a crazy walk guy, so I don't know that he has an insane command of the strike zone or anything. But he is a veteran. I don't really want to beat him up for it. But I do think that I would love to know what their philosophy is around it, because you always say you can't take the challenges with you. It doesn't matter if you save your challenges for the critical moment, if the critical moment never comes. So there's that. But at the same time, like the last inning, things ended up working out for us. But in an inning where we were walking a lot and where it was a grinded out type of inning, you certainly would have liked to have at least had the option challenge.
100%.
And so, and you went through, let's see, because when at the time that Fraley struck out, the game was still tied. We had not taken the lead at that point. Right. So Fiducia walks, then Walls walks, and then Simpson grounds out. So at that point, you know, who knows? Like, if it had been like, you know, Fiducia's at bat, I'm trying to see if there was anything like really, like there weren't any super close pitches in that. Well, actually, there was on the second pitch of the at bat, there was a decently close pitch on the inside corner that was called a ball. But if that had been a strike, you know, you start to wonder. And so, you know, these are the things that it's an interesting conversation because we've added this new wrinkle to the game. I'm not sure. You know, it's the thing that's going to be really fun is when this enters in the playoffs, because that's where it's going to get, because there's going to be somebody who challenges at a bad time and makes a bad challenge. And it's going to cause a whole ripple effect for the rest of baseball when that's just seen, because the manager can't cancel it. Manager can't be like, no, I didn't want in the chat. You can't. No.
Yeah.
If he taps his helmet, and we've seen around the league some other interesting wrinkles around like catchers framing it up to try to bait the batter into challenging, or, you know, batters calling out a catcher who like does this thing and is like trying to then say, no, I didn't mean to challenge it. And the batter calling him out and saying he challenged it on a pitch that was for sure a ball. Yeah. Just a lot of really interesting wrinkles that we're seeing as this is happening.
Definitely. I like the idea of the bad frame job to bait the catcher into challenging.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Something that needs to get addressed, I think, changed about the system is the window is so tight on a challenge. And I understand why the window is really tight, but it remains the same amount of time on a steal attempt.
Right.
So, like, there's been times where a catcher has caught the ball, thrown it, and then went, oh, wait, you didn't call that a strike? All right, challenge. And he goes, no, you missed your window by trying to throw the runner out. And it's like, no, he's trying to throw the runner out, then should have a moment to challenge. So I think they need to extend the window on a play where the catcher throws the ball.
I wonder if like that could be a scenario where like, I'm trying to think, because I don't know that I'd want like the manager to have the option to challenge there. Or
maybe that's when the pitcher needs to challenge. Maybe that's an opportunity where the pitcher should put the challenge in.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think it's, again, these are the wrinkles of this new system. And like, I think I am enjoying it. Like, I think if there was unlimited challenges, or
that'd be bad,
I would hate it. But the fact that there's a level of strategy involved, there's a level of gamesmanship that's now happening that I love. I love a little gamesmanship. And so I'm enjoying it. I think it's fun. sweeping is also fun, which is what we ended up doing to the White Sox. And we were on a W6 at this point, going into a series against the Pirates that I felt pretty good about going into it, and was immediately reminded that baseball is a long season and you're going to lose some games, because we immediately lost the next game on a decent start from Nick Martinez, a couple of bad pitches from Griffin Jacks and Yonder Gomez, and a lackluster day offensively.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger problem more than anything. I mean, we did get undone by a couple of home runs towards the end. We had that O'Neill Cruz home run, and Brandon Lowe had a home run. But we already booked that one. We said this last week. We were like, Brandon Lowe will hit a home run. Like, we were lucky. We were lucky it wasn't multiple. Like, Everson Pereira already had his revenge tour. It was Brandon Lau's turn. I don't know. Mason Montgomery had a decent outing against us in this game. And Jake Mangum was pretty good all series.
We gave up so much in this trade. Like, I don't want to get us bogged down and talking about this trade again, but like the idea that three players that we traded all affected the outcome of a game against us, and the player that we got is not even on the team right now. It just, like, independent of whether the trade ended up being positive for the team, which we won't know for years, it just feels bad at the moment.
It does feel bad at the moment. I mean, the Pirates, like, have really been showing up. But let's not get it twisted. Like, Mason Montgomery was bad.
Yeah. And I think he is a guy that, you know, if he ever figures it out, he's going to be great. But like, he has a 4.82 ERA, or he did
like,
this game.
Like, he had a good outing against us, but like, a reliever will, even bad relievers will have a good outing. Like,
right. It's the same thing with Taj Bradley or Shane Baz. Like, we know who those guys are. We know, like, exactly.
Position
who
players
they are.
Can throw 1-2-3 scoreless innings.
Yeah.
Which makes me go, maybe I should pitch in the big leagues.
Yeah.
It happens. It really felt bad. It did feel bad this series, that it was kind of the guys we gave away that came back to hurt us. Honestly, it was a bit of a humiliation ritual road trip, because even Pereira got one on us. We got the Reds next. Have we moved anyone to the Reds recently?
I feel like we did. While you're looking at the Reds roster, one of those where you're like, okay, we talked about this last week. This is one of the 60 we were going to lose. Offense didn't have it. We actually, you know, put the ball in play a good amount. We struck out only 6 times over the course of the game. So like, out of 32 at bats, only struck out 6 times. Like, that's fine. That's not a bad outing there. Just didn't get the, you know, maybe had a little bit of regression on BABIP luck. You're not going to win them all. So is what it is. And the next game in the series was a very weird baseball game, because it lasted 13 innings and we were getting like thoroughly pantsed by Paul Skeens when the rain came in. And then he got his start interrupted, which was happening in tandem with Drew's worst start of the season, where he gave up 4 runs.
Yeah.
2 home runs, by the way, as well. And so that was, it looked for all the world like we were going to lose this game badly. But then all of a sudden the rain comes crashing down, and we go into the fifth and put up 5 runs to take the lead and flip the game completely on its head right in the middle there.
Yeah, crazy game. I went to bed during the rain delay because it was quite lengthy, and it was late, and we were down 4-0.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't think Skeens was going to come back after the rain delay or anything like that. But I was just like, man, we're down 4-0. I'm going to go to bed. And then when I woke up, I was like, what? And what an inning we put together. As soon as Skeens left, we were like, hold on.
Yeah.
Like, we're not facing the best pitcher in the game right now. All right, let's turn it on.
Yeah.
And yeah, really impressed with all the at-bats again. Loads of good contact as well. Cam Jr. again contributing. I think he had a great road trip. Aranda had a single. DeLuca again, really good. And Mullins has started to turn it around as well. I think we should talk about Cedric Mullins a little bit. I think this is a good opportunity to talk to him because he was the hero in this game in extra innings too.
Yes. Coming in, you know, we go through the remaining, you know, after we scored that, after we had that big inning, you go through the remaining four innings to get to the ninth. Nothing's – well, excuse me, in the eighth inning, we had a one-run lead. In the eighth inning, our good friend Baker – gives it up, which is uncharacteristic of him. This is one of the only type of outings from him, although he has blown two saves. So maybe there's been two outings where that's happened. And then we go to the ninth. Nothing happens in the 10th. Both teams score a run in the 11th. Nothing happens in the 12th. And then finally we get to the top of the 13th where we're like, okay, is anybody going to win this game? Is anybody going to do something to win this game? And I guess Cedric Mullins hurt us. Because he came out and hit a two-run tater to give us the lead for good.
Yeah, and he needed that. But because he has been pretty bad to start the season. But he's starting to turn the corner. It's like, imagine watching a bus turn a corner. Like, it's going to take a minute. But he is, his at-bats are starting to get a little bit better. He's starting to hit the ball a little bit harder. It was rough for a minute there, but I don't think he's cost us any games. I don't know. I think, but with the money, considering he's like one of, if not the highest paid player on the roster, you kind of want a bit more from him.
Yeah, I feel like he is one where he is getting a lot of playing time because of how much we're paying him. And I kind of wish that Johnny DeLuca was getting his at-bats.
Right. And I would rather Johnny DeLuca was taking Jake Fraley's at-bats.
I would be fine with both of those guys getting less at-bats and Johnny DeLuca getting more. Maybe that's what needs to happen.
Yeah. Have you noticed that Kevin Cash is going extra platoon, have like extra platoon advantage centric than normal?
I think that is because he knows that we have three really good hitters in Yandy, Caminero, Aranda, who you can play him every day. Simpson has sort of become that, although he had a rough week this last week. We kind of gave Chandler all of his flowers for being awesome. He hit to a negative 13 WRC plus over this last week. Not great. Had an okay day today, but not awesome. And so the rest of the team, I think he understands that he's going to have to go out of his way to put the rest of the team in positions to be successful to get the best outcomes. And I think it has been working. Like, I do think he's generally been pulling the right levers. And
the offense has been good.
Yeah. And it has found a way to construct lineups with this talent, the talent roster that he has. He's been able to construct lineups that have gotten maybe the maximum, like the maximum output that he could out of this lineup. So I give him a lot of credit for that.
100%. And it's just interesting that he's been so aggressive where like in like the fourth inning, you'll pinch hit.
Yeah.
To get the platoon advantage. Like it's uber aggressive. I kind of like it. And I think this is not the strongest core of hitters, like you said, and the best way to make them more than their sum of their parts is put them in positions to succeed. Yeah, I think there's nobody. I feel like nobody's a guaranteed day off on this team.
Right.
Everyone's going to chip in at some point, almost every game, it feels like. Which you would want the bullpen to do less of that. But hopefully we'll get there because this bullpen is run ragged at the moment. And we've only got so many that we can definitely count on.
Yeah. And I give credit in that 13 inning game, right? No earned runs given up other than Baker's. So throughout all the Manfred ball innings, nobody gave up an earned run. Gave up a couple of Manfred runs, but found a way to make it happen. Shout out to Yandres Gomez, who has pitched a ton of innings and sort of a ton of pitches over this last week and is finding a way to still get outs and get results. And I give him credit for that because I don't, again, he might be a quad A type arm, but I give him a lot of credit for coming in and getting outs at the major league level. Like they, you know, they don't just give you those outs for free. You got to earn them. And so I give him a ton of credit for that.
Yeah, really clutched up on Saturday night as well. Getting, was it Henry Davis on the final out? So yeah, really good from Gomez. Hopefully that's a confidence booster for him. But it's this bullpen, there's apart from Baker, not much you can depend on. And they're all being and because the starters are not stretched out to the point where you can rely on them to go six even on any given day, they haven't to pitch a lot of innings.
Yeah. I think reliability is just one of the most important things in basically all facets of life. But I think it's very important in your wardrobe too, because whatever you put on at the beginning of the day, a lot of times that's what you got for the rest of the day. So you want something reliable. And if you want something reliable, you know you got to go to shop.rblrsports.com. The best stuff is there. All of your favorite Tampa sports teams, they got their stuff there. Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Rays, Sun, it's all there. Shop.rblrsports.com. Use promo code FLAPPY, FLAPPY, for 10% off your entire order. Shop.rblrsports.com.
Yeah, you got to have a reliable fit on any given day. Imagine walking out of the house and your fit just disintegrates.
Yeah.
That's like a nightmare. I swear I've had nightmares when that happens. You walk out the house and your clothes just disintegrate and you're like, ah, what's happening there? But that's probably more of a thing I need to discuss with my therapist.
Yeah, although I do think it's relevant because I felt like the momentum that we had in this game to get a W disintegrated in the bottom of the fifth inning, because started out really nice with, you know, Shane gives up a run early, then settles down. We get top of five, get two runs, get a lead. We're feeling good. And then what has happened a couple times too many for Shane to begin this season, just had a tough inning, gave up three runs, and that was kind of all she wrote.
Yeah, and it was just impossible. And Mitch Keller threw a really good game, by the way. We were flummoxed. Is that a term we use in America, flummoxed?
Seven innings he pitched.
Yeah, really good outing from him. Like, Rays had barely anything to show against him. There was like that nice hit in the fifth by Fiducia.
And that was kind of it.
Yeah, and that was it. We put together a little something in the fifth, but then again, Shane kind of gave it right back. So, Junior hit a garbage time home run. The bullpen couldn't keep it close either. We were stretched pretty thin. Like, we had to run Englert out there for quite a while. We had to run Seymour out there, like, because everyone else was just, you know, on their knees, needed that day off. So it's a shame that we couldn't take the rubber game, because if we went, you know, 5-1 on this road trip, we'd be like, whoa, that's really good. 4-2, still good.
Yeah.
You feel less good, though.
And I think part of the reason I also feel less good is because we do not get a day off tomorrow. We got to go right into the Cincinnati series. Now, it is at home, so there's a benefit there coming back home off the road, getting, you know, everybody getting back to their place. But you got to go right into the Red series. Then you get a day off. But then your reward after your day off is the Twins and the Guardians. Twins at home, Guardians on the road for next week. And so it's going to be interesting to see how we piece together the pitching over the next 3 days. We're going to need some good starts over the next couple of days to find a way to give the bullpen some rest. And unfortunately, we do not have a starter designated for tomorrow, which is not starting it off well. Because after tomorrow, we then get to go to Mats in the middle game and Martinez to end it. But right now, we do not have a pitcher like on the docket for tomorrow. So I don't know if that means it's Schlotin's time again, maybe behind an opener.
That's what I would guess.
But you know, you've used Sulcer and Englert both quite a bit recently. So I'm not sure who you're going to as your opener in this moment, because Seymour's pitched like all the guys that I would have thought you could go to as an opener, Englert, Seymour, and Sulcer all pitched quite a bit over this last week. You could maybe go back to Sulcer again because he opened for Slotin's last time. He hasn't pitched quite as much because I don't think you can go to Seymour or to Englert. I think you're going to have to look at somebody else. I wouldn't go to Gomez either because he's pitched quite a bit as well. So you may be looking at either going back to Sulcer or maybe trying Hunter Biggie out for an inning or two.
Yeah, I don't know if Biggie's too high leverage. I don't know. Yeah, but we're a bit thin on the ground bullpen wise. We're really missing Clevinger. We're really missing Uceda. We've kind of just got to muddle it together and hope the offense can do enough, I think, to cover for him. Yeah, the Reds have Rhett Lauda pitching tomorrow. Don't know tons about Rhett Lauda. I know he's a right-hander. And this season he's been okay. 3.52 ERA. He seems okay. And then they have Chase Burns in the middle game. That's going to be a tough game. And then they have Brandon Williamson, not to be confused with Ben. Reds are
Williams,
top of the NL
Williamson,
Central.
More than one Williamson. It's all over the place.
It's going to be confusing, but the Reds are top of the NL Central right now.
So so
not a team to take for granted.
This isn't, and again, you still got Elly De La Cruz over there. This is definitely not a gimme series. This is a tough series to come home to.
So you asked if there were, well, I asked, but I'm gonna gaslight you into saying that you asked. You asked, are there any Rays that can perform the humiliation ritual on us? None that we've directly given to the Reds.
Okay.
But there are some former Rays on this Reds team. The main ones to keep an eye on, Nate Lowe.
Nate Lowe's a Red?
Nate Lowe is a Red right now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
He's a Red. He's not doing great so far, but he is there. And the other one is there's Emilio Pagan as well.
Oh, Emilio Pagan. He's still around. Yeah. I feel like, did he go to the Mexican League for a minute? Or did he go to...
I don't know. I think he pitched for Mexico in the WBC, but I don't think he went
Maybe
to
that's what I'm thinking of. I feel like we just got to figure out a way. Because, I mean, we're missing, still missing Amrod, obviously. Still missing Uceda. Still missing Clevinger. Steven Wilson, who is looking pretty good in Durham on his rehab, unless I'm just remembering that.
I'll double check the injury reports on that.
Uceda, Amrod, and Clevinger are not close to coming back, from my understanding. And the other kind of big piece of injury news is that Pepio is now on the 60-day IL. And so we will not see him for a while.
No. Clevinger did have a rehab game today. He had his first rehab game. Okay. He was really bad.
Pitched a
third of an inning, walked like two guys, gave up a home run.
Awesome. Good stuff.
But the key thing was he was out there. So he walked three guys, and then gave a 442 home run up. To the big Christmas, Joaquin Noel.
Oh, yeah.
Uceda also is pitching rehab. He pitched yesterday in rehab, but got pulled out.
Right.
And they're not, they think he might need a bit longer. Apparently his shoulder flared up a little bit again.
Yeah.
Which isn't great. Boyle's not done anything yet. Wilson, as far as I'm aware, is not rehabbed yet.
Okay, I must have been misremembering.
So we'll see.
So not great.
Yeah, Clevinger seems the closest to being back. He might be back in a week or two.
Yeah. Which means we're kind of, this group is kind of going to need to figure it out over the next, because if you're looking at what's down there, maybe this is Cam Boozer time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is Alex Cook time. Evan Reifert maybe gets it. Maybe. Do some of those guys get a look at this point? Austin Vernon?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, are any of those guys getting a look?
Yeah. Yeah. I could see a demotion. I could totally see a world where Shelton's pitches tomorrow and then gets immediately demoted and replaced with a bullpen arm.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because he might do well.
Your take last week that Brody Hopkins could see a cup of coffee in the majors at some point is looking more and more realistic with all these injuries.
Yeah. It's not the way I wanted it to happen, but it could happen. He's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's the key thing is basically we are top of the division as we speak right now, like no matter what, right? As of right now, we are top of the division. According to Fangraphs, our playoff odds have risen from 29% at the start of the season to 43%.
Wow. They give us 29% at the beginning of the season. I feel like I was expecting it to be 0% or something.
And actually, other than the Yankees, we are the second most likely AL East team to make the playoffs, according to Fangraphs, as of today.
We take it.
We take those. So we just got to keep putting together good series. The thing I like about the offense is we continue to have competitive at-bats. Like we're really grinding people out, taking our walks, not giving away anything for free. Not striking out. We've got like the second lowest strikeout rate.
I really like that.
So always giving ourselves a chance, making the defense earn it. So I think that's something that can sustain. And I think Aranda can do better. I still think Junior has yet to fully take off. I think Mullins will continue to not be – like, I think Mullins will be better than he's been. There's lots of encouraging signs. I'm more worried – it's always weird when you say this about a Rays team, but I'm more worried about the thinness of our pitching right now. More than our offense.
Yeah. So we'll have to see, you know, maybe some of the guys that are struggling right now in the bullpen find a way to turn it around. Jax is one we can look at where, you know, maybe he just needs to get a little bit more lucky. You know, he did the location on the 2-run bomb he gave up the other night was fine. It was a good location, just got unlucky. So maybe he starts to get a little bit more lucky. We really need him to figure it out though, because with Clevinger and Uceda both gone, Baker cannot be the only guy. And Biggie's been pretty good too, but we got to have somebody else we can turn to there. So
100%.
Speaking of guys we can turn to, batting arm of the week.
Yeah. Which one would you like me to do today?
I would like to hear what you have to say about our arm of the week.
I'm glad you asked. I want to talk about one, Jesse Shultens, a guy that I didn't expect to put on Arm of the Week. But he was awesome in his kind of bulk start against the White Sox. We've already talked about it. 5 innings, no runs allowed. Absolutely carried a game for us kind of out of nowhere. But actually, he has also pitched 4 2/3 scoreless elsewhere. In another game this season. So he's pitched 9 2/3 scoreless, which is great stuff to see. A guy that's kind of come out of nowhere, needed to give us some key innings, and he's done that. He's the only guy that's thrown at least 5 scoreless innings this week. Nobody else was able to throw that amount of scoreless innings. In fact, how many people have gone this week without giving up a run in our pitching staff? That's a good question.
I think that is this a, are you quizzing me or am I looking it up?
That is a quiz.
Okay. Biggie, I think, didn't give up a run. Salsa. Biggie didn't.
No, Salsa didn't. Yeah. He went 2 innings.
Is there anyone else?
Nope. That's it.
That's it.
Shelton, Salsa, and Biggie. But Biggie pitched 2 innings this week. Salsa pitched 3 1/3. Shelton's pitched 5. So, it's got to be Jesse Shelton's. He was great, and he's earned himself another start or bulk appearance. So it'll be interesting to see if he can keep this up, because if he's like the weird emerging star who goes from mid reliever to suddenly part of the rotation, that seems to be a yearly occurrence for us that we can never seem to predict. Welcome, Jesse Shelton's. You join the Zach Littell, Jeff Springs, and probably someone else sorority. Steven Matz, I guess, this year.
Yeah. And, you know, he is the poster for when you get your opportunity, you make the most of it. You go out there, you gut it out, and you find a way. Even if it wasn't what you expected or even when you expected it, you take those opportunities and you make the most of it. And that's what he's done. So I give him all the credit in the world. Hopefully, I think he's probably going to end up pitching tomorrow. So hopefully he can continue this kind of performance. A well-deserved arm of the week.
100%. All right, but who is our bat of the week? I think we've got a few good candidates here.
We do, but we decided to give our bat of the week to a guy that we, I think, both think should be getting more at-bats than he is, but one that maybe, you know, today also had a nice game, but throughout the week has had a really nice week, and that's Johnny DeLuca. Over the course of the week, even before today, had 6 RBIs. He had a home run, hit to a 241 WRC plus, and put up 0.2 F4. He is getting not that many at-bats, relatively speaking. I would say that, like, I have been kind of surprised at the lack of at-bats that he has gotten just generally throughout this season. He currently is getting fewer at-bats than Jake Fraley, Ben Williamson, and Cedric Mullins. And that to me is a little surprising. He's only gotten 42 plate appearances so far this season. But despite that, he's hitting to a 141 WRC plus over this season. He's a guy that I think we wanted to highlight. He had a great week this week. I hope that he can get a little bit more playing time. Cash, if you're listening, give this guy some more run. Maybe turn the sliders down a little bit on Jake Fraley and Cedric Mullins. Turn it up on Johnny DeLuca, because he's awesome, and we need to see more of him.
Yeah, I think DeLuca has been a victim of Cash aggressively looking for platoon advantages, and DeLuca's a right-handed hitter, so he'd rather go with Fraley, the left-handed hitter, on that long side platoon. But DeLuca has really performed whenever he's been given the opportunity. A sneaky pop that I didn't know existed in DeLuca. Yeah. Already, 3 home runs on the year? Yeah, he brings good power, sneaky power, good speed, good fielding, gives you a good at-bat. Yeah, hasn't really put a foot wrong so far this year. So really proud of Johnny DeLuca. And yeah, I would love to see him take more of Jake Fraley's at-bats. hopefully Cash doesn't get too stuck on the platoon advantage and realizes that Jake Fraley is not really providing much at all.
No, but he has, you know, this team has provided us with some very fun moments so far this season, provided us with 12 wins, which if you had told us, if you had said at the beginning of the season, hey, you're going to be here on April 19th, and this team's going to be 12-4, and we swept the Yankees, I think we all would have taken that every single time. And so even though, you know, we saw some things we didn't like this week, team is still in a very good place, relatively speaking. You know, have a nice little homestand here, 6 games with the day off in between. Maybe it's a reset. Maybe it's an opportunity to get things moving kind of back the way they were before the Pittsburgh series. But Pittsburgh's a good team. So, you know, not a huge problem to lose that game. If you're going to lose a series, lose it out of conference, on the road. That's a good place to lose a series. And so that's why I think where we're going to leave it. And we're going to say thank you all for joining us to talk about the Rays today. We hope that you enjoyed, and if you did, do us a huge favor and drop us a subscribe or a follow on whatever platform you enjoyed the show on. If you want to see us again next week, that is the way that you will know when we're going live. If you got thoughts, you want to let us know what you're thinking, head on over to YouTube, drop us a comment. Love to hear from you guys. But regardless of whether, you know, the bullpen turns it around, whether the bats get hot again, we're still going to be here enjoying Rays baseball. We're still going to be here talking about it, and it's always going to be Rays up.
Rays up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.